Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Welcome on in. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on 790 The Ticket. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What's up?
Not much, man. What's going on?
Not.
What's
I'm into what's Ozark.
What's doing at the Horde household?
Ozark. Everybody's watching.
I'm in.
I mean, a lot of Johnny come latelys. I mean, I'm already on season three with Ozark.
I've been on
Ozark.
Okay, I was a little backed up. All right, I haven't had this much time on my hands, so I watch Westworld. Right, here's what sucks. Let me tell you what sucks about catching up with these series and all of these shows is that you get into it without realizing, right, that you're gonna catch up. And the episodes are going to stop. So I'm watching Westworld, and I'm just going, and then, hey, why is the screen blank? Because I caught up. Then I watched Tiger King. That was like a, you know, documentary, so that was over. And now I'm on Ozark. Got to tell you, dude never does anything anything that is violent. He talks his way out of everything.
Yep. Well, he's not a fighter. He's like a math guy. That's the thing.
Right. Okay, but
that's how
he seems to be.
As you would say, he's good at the game of verbal jujitsu.
Right. He seems to negotiate negotiate his way out of a lot of things that would be his demise. He just talks his way out of it with the cartel, with the Snells. I mean, oof.
Yeah, it's pretty
brutal.
The Snells don't play, man. Darlene. I'm like, oh.
Well, the one guy, was it James? He's pretty mellow about it, right? Darlene wanted to just shoot people in the face.
No, Darlene's straight crazy.
Right. She goes, the guy starts talking, right? Well, by the way, spoiler alert. I did not know that my man Dell, I thought he was like way up on the totem pole. Like, you can't just go off and folks. He said redneck. She said, say what?
Excuse me?
He said, what I said was, red, boom. I'm like, whoa, what are we doing?
Yeah, Ozark's good, man. I watched one episode last night.
Season are you on?
I'm on the current season. My wife and I are, we hit like only one episode last night. Yesterday, I had a hell of a day. I was moving my mom to her new house. So yesterday was what I like to call phase one, where we were getting basically all of her stuff out of storage and putting it onto the moving truck. And I don't mean to give all movers a bad name. I'm just saying in this moving process, they're 2 for 2 in showing up super late and are very, you know, I would think their arms would be a lot more jacked for how much they crank up the excuse machine, especially this guy that they had last night. This guy was the Adam Gase of movers. I mean, Leroy, this guy waltzes in here. He, you know, first of all, don't tell me how long your day has been. I know you've had a long day, but, you know, people pay a lot of money for movers. Nobody wants to hear about the long day. They were supposed to be there at 3:30, Leroy. They got there at 5:45. And before 3:30, they were supposed to be there at 1. And before 1, they were supposed to be there at, like, in the morning. You know, there's always a job added on, or there's always some boomerang or something thrown in there, a monkey wrench into the whole system. It goes awry. So, all right, you're here. But when you're here, don't tell me about all your moving accolades. This guy, he wanted to give me the rundown of rundowns of all the things that he had moved. Now, mind you, I'm not very impressed by these things. I move furniture. That was my job as a kid. I did it all the time. I never showed up to anybody's house and told them how great I was at it. You know how I knew that they knew I was great at it? Their furniture got into their house. No bangs on the wall. No cracks in the furniture. That's kind of that's how you know a guy's good at moving. I don't need you to tell me how good you are at moving, but this guy, my God, Leroy, he wouldn't shut up. I've been doing this 11 years.
Oh, I hate that line. I hate that line. When people come over to your house, like when we were getting our house painted, right? When a guy goes, I've been in the business for 20 years. I've done this. I've done that. I said, that usually comes with a big quote.
Right. 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 And so he's telling me, oh, I've been here 11 years. And so, you know, my mom happened to mention what a nightmare it was the last movers that we had. And it was a disaster. But, you know, so they filled up the storage unit. And, you know, full disclosure, you know, my family used to have a furniture store. And my mother and aunt, they're not exactly easy with parting with stuff. So there's a lot of stuff that's older, too. So I don't know what these guys may have damaged, and I don't know what is just effing old as hell. So this guy decides to take an opportunity because he's already very full of himself with his own resume. Not only can I, when I say he's the Adam Gase, not only can I fluff up my own resume, but I can also take down, as they say, the past regime, Leroy. So this thing is a trek when you have to get to this moving unit, because you have to go all the way down and you have to go all the way over to get out of the building every single time. It's a real pain in the ass. But this guy's like, my mom and I are positioned right outside the door, the magnetized door, so we could always just kind of open it for them so they can get right onto the truck, no issues. Leroy, this guy stopped after every time he got a piece of furniture. He's stopping at us. He's explaining why it's damaged. He's like, this would never happen on my watch. And then not two trips later does the guy take one of the one piece that my mom has had, and she had been that she actually loves. You know, a lot of this stuff is just old, but this piece she actually loves. This guy, because he's chirping and yapping about how great a mover he is, clang right into a wall. I'm like, mm-hmm. All right. All right there, Gaser. He's the Adam Gase of movers.
Did you say something to him?
I'm like, I just looked at my mom. I just kept looking at my mom. I'm like, mm-hmm. See, I said I knew that was coming. Because guy is going to be there. And the other thing is, you know, so we were up against the clock a little bit. This guy just keeps chirping on how fast he is. We had two moving units to do. So we had one that was on the first floor and one that was on the third floor. And we have to get this done by 9 o'clock. It's COVID-19. It's pandemic. And, you know, normally a public storage place open, willy-nilly as much as you want, as long as you got the codes. This place is closing at 9. So, I mean, these guys are like, they already showed up way late. And now we got to get two units done. Well, let me tell you something. This first unit, the dent wasn't getting done quite fast enough. So I started just moving stuff down from the third unit myself to get it finished up. But old crazy eyes Gase the mover, I was not very impressed by his 11 years of resume, Leroy, even though he thought I should have been very impressed.
Hey, here's the crazy thing. Whenever somebody hits you up with a resume or credentials before they start doing the job, doesn't it make you pay attention to what the hell they're doing even more?
Right. Right.
Like, if he would have just came in, said, yeah, you know, I've been doing it for a while, or whatever, just to kind of give you some comfort to let you know he didn't start on Monday.
Well, he like, yeah.
But no.
No. Mm-mm. And the other thing was, he walks by me with one of the chairs that's like wrapped in the moving wrap, and he goes, I want to show you something. I'm like, here we go. This is probably the fifth time he stopped me already to show me something. He goes, these last guys, check out this chair. And so like he showed me some like little, like the littlest wobble in like the back end. And I tell the guy, I'm like, hey man, I'm going to be honest with you. That chair's old as hell. I don't know if they did that or if that chair's just old as hell. Let's keep it moving. You don't got to show me the inspection rate for everything. Let's go. Jesus. Anyway, let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
All right. So yesterday was chaotic, to say the least, when it came to the UFC. Dana White is holding on to a dream, Leroy. He's feverishly trying to make UFC 249 happen. It's not happening because, as we said at the end of yesterday's show, Khabib's stuck in Russia.
Right.
Unbelievable. Tony Ferguson has tweeted out that you're hiding in Russia. Travel bans will not prevent me from whooping your ass. Don't use that as an excuse to back out. I really don't. I don't know why he went to Russia. I'm very confused by this.
Look, they had to be a better plan. First of all, you have to do a little forward thinking in those situations, because here, you see travel bans were happening. You saw like things as far as the COVID-19 started picking up, as far as how we're going to cut back, how we're going to do social distance. It was building to something more extreme than where we were a month ago, right? It was growing. Everybody, you know, started planning or whatnot. If he wanted this to happen, the first thing he should have did was get all of the fighters in one place.
Agreed.
Right? Yep. Whether it's here, whether it's whatever. Because then, if the fight could not happen, right, it couldn't happen for anyone. If it could happen and you were able to travel, wherever you're able to travel, you could travel with all your fighters. But to have everybody all over the world, right, when most of them train here, it would have been a very easy call to say, hey, Khabib, we want to keep everybody here so this fight could happen. Then in which case, if Khabib leaves and goes to Russia, gets locked into Russia, then all these things that Tony Ferguson are saying, then Dana could just come out and say, look, you know, it was hard times. I didn't know what was going to happen. I tried to get everybody to stay here. Khabib decided he wanted to go home. He's locked out. So now we got to do something else. Whereas now it just looks like, you know, he's trying to make this fight happen so bad. He is not being very sympathetic to the circumstances of what's going on in the world. And it could have a negative, you know, reaction, because guess what? Crazy things happen in MMA. Crazy things happen. What if Tony Ferguson loses?
Oh, if he fights a replacement guy and loses?
Right.
Oh, it kills it, man.
Right. Fight, and so, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we've seen crazier things.
Oh, sure. And especially the people that are having him go up against. First of all, he fights in one of the best divisions on the planet, 155. It's stacked from top to bottom. So any guy you put him in there with is a tough fight. Now, there's a bunch of guys who raised their hand yesterday trying to get the replacement fight. Masvidal raised his hand. Kamaru Usman, According to Ariel Helwani, there was some brief talk with the UFC about those two fighting each other just for the welterweight championship on 2 weeks' notice. Tyron Woodley and Colby Covington. Those guys have a longtime rivalry. They offered up to fight. The interesting thing with the UFC guys is when somebody does drop out in a scenario like this, a lot of the times I feel like fighters will kind of step up and raise their hand because it's one of the rare times the UFC guys get a lot of leverage on the company because they know big payday is coming because you're kind of swinging in like Superman to save the day. So,
especially if you got any kind of name,
right? So that's one of those where a lot of guys are raising their hand yesterday, offering to fight on this card because they know Dana White is desperate to put it on, so they feel like a big payday can come. There was a report yesterday that says the UFC is still talking to the Florida Commission to do the event down here. I was theorizing this yesterday, Leroy. If you did have a scenario where Jorge Masvidal did fight on the card or Colby Covington, I suppose anybody, but I would wonder if they could hold the fight at American Top Team, the gym in Coconut Creek, because that place is a monstrosity. And I'm pretty sure they have a full-blown cage in there. Like, a lot of places, they just have a cage wall. Right. But that place is the creme de la creme. That place is like the Rolls Royce of gyms. I think they got a full-size cage. I wonder if they'd be able to just do the fight there. Now, I'm sure the UFC could bring in their own cage if they wanted to. I'm just trying to make
you
things
do it
as simple
just
as possible.
Top just at a gym?
I'm just thinking, I don't want to do anything. I'm just trying to think about where things could most likely happen.
There's no way you'd be able to fit everything in there, though.
You've never been in here, this place, Leroy. It's ridiculous. It's so big.
It may be, but I mean, we've been to, you know, even when we were at
it's bigger
BBT.
Than that place. It's bigger. Huh. It's bigger than like when we go to Titan for Extreme Action Park. ATT is bigger than that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the just the crew, the camera crew, and all the stuff that they bring in there. It's a lot more stuff than what you see.
Wouldn't be surprised if they had to do RoboCams.
Yeah. That's
true.
Either
way, it looks like a cluster bleep. We are going to talk to Ariel Helwani. The Woj.
How frustrated is he, man?
Whoa, well, I was wondering this. Does Ariel Helwani like a day like yesterday? Because he does love the sport. But that's when he gets to go into action. Like everybody, you know, he's got the big story. He's got the big scoop. I wonder if he likes a day like yesterday where, like, the story's developing and everybody's looking to him kind of for the answers because he's the guy. So we'll have him on in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll talk to
somebody
him.
Somebody said Khabib gave an explanation on Instagram.
Not a great one, unless he's given a new one that I haven't seen yet.
Well, no, man, you can't go like, well, oh, he maybe gave an explanation as to why he went back to Russia.
Yeah, no, he went. His explanation was they went to Abu Dhabi. They said that they're going to close the borders. He's not a resident there. So his idea was, I'm going to go back to Russia. It's probably going to be over here anyway. And then Russia ended up locking the borders. That was his explanation from what I saw yesterday. I don't know if he's put out anything new because, you know, Russian time.
Oh, so he was trying to be ahead of the game and go there and train and stuff like that. And then he ended up playing Russian roulette, no pun intended, with what country was going to lock their borders.
Right. As far as other news is concerned, this is cool. A lot of people will like this. The New York Post reports that the Michael Jordan Bulls documentary, The Last Dance, that was scheduled for summer release, that is getting moved up to April 18th, which is actually the day of UFC 249. So I don't know how well that actually speaks to UFC 249 happening, because obviously ESPN is big partners with the UFC, and that would lead you to believe that they don't have a prelim to show that night if they're showing The Last Dance. So maybe you can put two and two together there. They are apparently going to make a special announcement on Good Morning America today. So you got that coming as well. And, Jeff Van Gundy thinks the NBA season's over. So we'll get to that in 15 minutes of heat. We'll be back after this. Boy on the ticket. Hello, Leroy.
What up?
me tell you something, man. You know it was great to see yesterday?
What?
Oh, man. Woo-hoo! So yesterday, this was great. So yesterday, we had ourselves Stephen A. Smith, my guy. Love me, Stephen A. Smith. All right? So he comes out. They have this list on Bleacher Report. It gives you the best duos in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
And number four on the list, Bam and Jimmy.
Woo!
But he goes and says, it takes it a step further. And he goes, the most underrated duo in the NBA, Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. Talking about, man.
Woo! Yeah.
Most underrated.
That got you going?
Woo, give me the feels, man.
Stephen A. actually does have a lot of love for the Heat. He has them going deep in the Eastern Conference playoffs, too, on a couple occasions.
Yeah, he has them as one of the teams that could really threaten the Bucks, because you know they got the Bam print, they got the Greek Freak stopper, that makes them more of the Greek Meek when they got Bam on them. Telling you, so he goes, no one's talking about him, Max. Let's be real about it. And you want to know something, Leroy?
Play basketball.
I'm telling you, Leroy. Here's the difference. All right.
All right.
You can't have a segment about the most dynamic duo or the most underrated duos. You know how First Take works. They got the graphics all over the place. They got an AD and a LeBron over here. They got a Russ and a James Harden over here. They got a Porzingis and a Luka Doncic over here. On the graphic, no Bam and no Jimmy. That speaks immediately into Stephen A. Smith's point. Boxed in.
I think there's no basketball. This is a great conversation to have. But I would say one of the reasons why these two guys are probably on that list is because they have very similar styles, right? Like when you look around the league, there's nobody that plays a style like the Greek Freak, like Giannis. But when you watch Jimmy Butler, when you watch Bam, very similar styles. So when they play against each other, it almost looks like they're playing against each other. Now, they're not as good, but if there's anybody in the league that could give him or disrupt his game more than anybody else, it would be the two guys that have very similar games. So that's why the games are always pretty competitive.
Here's the list, according to Bleacher Report. And they use the Basketball Reference MVP tracker to help us with this. And they go, the number one duo right now, Giannis and Chris Middleton. Now, this is like kind of a Hall and Oates of duos, because you're really getting propped up by Greek Freak here if you're Chris Middleton. What are you doing with your camera, man? I can't.
I'm trying to make your echo go away.
It's not going to go away, but just so I could see your face. That's the important thing here.
Right. I was trying to hit mute.
This way.
I already did volume down.
Tell this way. This way.
I don't know what's up.
I can see you, so I can see you.
And I look like a cat burglar because the light is dim.
You look good, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
So they got Giannis and Chris Middleton, number one. You know, it's kind of getting uplifted by the first guy, let's be honest. LeBron, AD, I'll give respect to that. It's a pretty good duo. It's a pretty good duo. So they're number two. Number three on the list, Russ and James Harden. Now, good list. I mean, good standing on the list. A lot of accolades between those two individuals. Not in the playoffs, but you know, look, Bam and Jimmy.
It's a team game.
I'm just saying, you know, we know where that's going to end up. We know how that duo is going to end up in the playoffs. Plus, the tallest guy on their team is like 6'2".
Yeah. I mean, that's been tried before, but it might be a little more effective now that there's really not a bunch of true bigs in the league. They're all wing players. You know, mm-hmm. These 7-foot guys are now wing players and are scared to put their foot in the paint. So it might work a little bit better now, but when the game slows up, having all those little ants on the court, I don't know how it's going to work out.
Then you have, it says under the Heat, it says when the Jimmy Butler chose the Miami Heat over the incoming Philadelphia 76ers, many understandably questioned the decision. I mean, understandably is, you know, overstated in my mind. I mean, he wanted to leave a bunch of crybabies. But, hey, that's neither here nor there. Bleacher Report's Yaron Weitzman explained, Butler clearly really wanted to play for the Heat. Living in Miami was probably a nice bonus, but the second desire is understandable. The first seems to have left many confused. After all, he isn't a guy who attempt to explain away every outburst and controversy. And man, there have been a bunch of I was claiming to win. So this was one of the dummies that was like, oh, Jimmy Butler doesn't care about winning. Well, sir, I hope you feel foolish and are sitting with your dunce cap, because clearly he does care about winning, because they got a better record than the Sixers. Just saying. Then it says, it's a fair question that the Sixers are championship contenders. The Heat are not. Butler no doubt knows this. According to those plugged in with the Associated Press, he was even more sold after hearing Miami's plan for attacking the 2020 offseason. Pat Riley may have had a few rough years, but that's no reason to believe he doesn't have a strong plan. I mean, yeah. Oh, you mean that he wanted to go to Miami, to a place that actually has organizational structure and not an actual clown show, which is what Philadelphia is.
All right. Look, you love this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But in a way, these guys that you critique are kind of like you.
What do you mean?
So right now, that guy is probably pulling a Tobin and saying stuff like, we may have thought that Jimmy Butler was going there for just to play out his career, and it wasn't about winning. But we were unsure of the progress that Bam would make. You know, some kind of verbal jujitsu to get out of it. You're familiar with their work. But what you do is you call out everybody else.
Nah.
And I'm then like, when you try to trade Gogi, right? And then we call you on it. You then go.
For Kawhi.
Okay.
Which is a fair trade. That's not an insult to trade somebody for Kawhi Leonard.
That's his version of for Kawhi.
No. I don't accept that.
Yes.
Anyway, shout out to Stephen A. Smith. That guy knows what he's talking about, huh?
Today.
Most underrated duo, Bam and Jimmy.
I would say, yes, but the one thing that's missing on their resume than on a lot of the other guys' resume is scoring, maybe. And I'm not saying they don't get numbers, but you know what I mean. Like, between when you look at all the other duos, right, you have a guy, if you go through that list, you have a guy who's a really good shooter and a guy who's okay, right? But they can accommodate each other, or, you know, if one guy's off, the other guy's on. Bam.
The other's on the list.
Is kind of limited as far as his range of shooting, and Jimmy has basically built all of downtown Miami this year.
Yeah, a lot of bricks.
Right. So if the one thing, you know, if there's one glaring difference between these two and other people on the list, is that although they're great and they're better all-around players than most of the guys, their scoring is a little shaky.
I think we got Kawhi and Paul George above them. They're definitely not more. They're not getting. They get plenty of respect. Nikola Jokic, right. Jamal Murray, I could say is maybe a duo that's maybe as underrated.
Right, but they're the other way. I don't know how good, if they play any defense, but their scores.
Oh, by the way, we haven't even talked about Jamal Murray.
What did he do?
What did he do? Leroy.
What?
Let's just say Jamal Murray kept some things that he should have kept in the DMs. He blasted out to all of his Instagram.
Oh.
And his lady and him were having a good time during quarantine. And everybody got to see it. Everybody got to see it.
Yes.
What?
Yup. Now he claims hack.
He said he got hacked.
He said he got hacked.
How did he get hacked? It is his, right?
It is his. And okay. It was his.
Why he putting it over the internet?
I don't know, man. They had to. He had to shut down his Instagram. He had to make it look like he was hacked.
Yeah,
keep it all together.
Yeah,
man,
but if you
gotta get off of this,
if you're filming it, I mean, you kind of know.
Stuff.
What's that?
If you're filming it, you gotta know, kind of, huh?
You gotta know. Look, I don't understand it. With that many clouds there are these days, who could be sure that it's not going to end up somewhere it shouldn't? Just, I mean, did he not see what happened to all the celebrities in the world, all the nudies that got out? You want to keep some nudes? All right, take a Polaroid. All right, put it in your desk drawer.
Polaroid?
Yep.
Can you even buy a Polaroid?
I'm sure on Amazon you can get a Polaroid camera. You want to save a nude? Take a Polaroid. You
the
put
only
it on a camera.
That, the only instant cameras that I know are used is the underwater ones. But I haven't seen a Polaroid except when you go to like Parrot Jungle or something.
We're back with more after this.
With the beautiful, sexy, sophisticated Fifth Harmony. I already seen mommy need a TLC. And I ain't too proud to beg just like TLC. I got a good head on my shoulders, if you know what I mean. That's when I called her over and told her, mommy, ven aquí. ¿De dónde eres? ¿Cuál es tu nombre? ¿Tienes novia o buscas hombre? Por favor, disculpa todas las preguntas, que lo único que quiero es un besito en la punta. Baby, please, dame un besito, mami.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on the ticket. Here with you on a Tuesday. Ariel Helwani is going to join us at around 9 o'clock today. We'll play
How about this?
Done, my friend, at next hour, which I'm looking forward to.
How about this? Somebody texted in and I forgot. Fonz told me this yesterday. The number one headline from yesterday.
Hmm?
They're reopening the cold case of Carol's dead husband.
Yep, I saw that yesterday. It feels like a little bit of grandstanding, though, from Hillsborough County. Like, now you're hopping on it
right.
All of a sudden.
Exactly.
You know, like, exactly. where you been this entire time? Now you want clues?
I think, right, they're trying to hose all of them down. So my man Jeff is definitely getting it. Right?
Oh, man. Jeff Lowe?
Doc and Keel, he's getting it, too.
I don't think so. I think Doc's going to get away scot-free on all this.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though, remember when they were showing the bill of sale from Doc buying Tigers, right? They can get him for that.
Yeah, but, he, the bill of sale was like on a notebook.
Don't matter. Records are records.
I guess, but those are some, like, Oklahoma records.
Of course they are.
Real shoddy.
Yeah.
But he is. She is getting investigated for murder now, so there is that.
I wonder if she's saying, why would anybody think I would kill my husband? Because this was his farm and he disappeared. That's why.
Yeah, we don't know. I don't know, because people say that he went to Costa Rica and then all of a sudden just never came back. It's a little bit strange. Left his children, left everybody he knew. A little bit weird there, Carol. Remember what she was like? Oh, he went flying, but he never had his license, so he couldn't tell anybody where he was going. It's like, so let me get this straight. All this time, he never could get his license renewed? Like, people lose license all that. Nobody can get a new... can't get a copy of a pilot's license? He was that ashamed of it? It seems ridiculous. Never heard of such a thing, Leroy.
Well, and it's ironically right around the time where he was telling everybody he was getting ready to get divorced.
Right.
That doesn't, not like, it's not looking good for old Carol.
I don't know. She's, you know, I can't imagine anything's going to happen. It happened so long ago, but, you know, yeah. I guess at this point, maybe it's just better that people know that they, or think that she did do it. Who knows?
But
nothing changes there. So yesterday was interesting. Jeff Van Gundy, he believes the NBA season's going to get canceled. He was on a radio station yesterday and basically put it out there that he says, I don't think we're going to play NBA basketball again this year. I don't see Major League Baseball happening, and I see NFL and college football starting late. And the reason I find this interesting is because we're not 48 hours removed from Kirk Herbstreit basically saying the same thing. He went as far as to say he doesn't think that there's going to be there's going to be an NFL season or a college football season. So we have two of the lead analysts for their respective sports basically telling you they don't believe they're going to be working this year, Leroy.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people in these trying times are thinking about, are they going to get a paycheck? Are they going to be doing their job? And it's not that Jeff Van Gundy or Kirk Herbstreit are hard up, but people want to get paid. People want their paycheck. And I'm pretty sure they're doing the respective research. I don't think they're just shooting from the hip saying, I don't think I'm working the rest of the year. Jeff Van Gundy obviously is in the most high profile NBA games that are going to happen in the postseason. And the same with Kirk Herbstreit. He gets the highest profile college football game every week.
Right.
So, yeah. Like, does it up your level of concern that people like this are telling you I don't think there's going to be sports?
I look at a lot of situations like this, and I tend to want it to play out a little bit, and I'm more of when the days of when things normally start happening get closer, then I start thinking about it. But we are, 3-4 months away from, you know, camps and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I'm going to be I'm not just going to throw it out there. But at the same time, I'm not just going to poo-poo the idea and think that there's no chance that we're not going to have football. There's no chance that basketball is not going to pick up. So I'm somewhere in the, things have to start turning around. I think, it's going to be a while before there's an actual vaccine. That's just because of the timing of how these things work.
Right.
We really haven't slowed it down yet.
No. And if anything, it might pick up steam the next couple of weeks.
Well, and I told you why I think a lot of that's picking up is because you have a certain group of people that got tested 7 days ago, and now you have these newer tests that are 45 minutes. So you're going to get results from more people than got tested, right?
Yeah, but I think the bigger thing is, like, you know, if you're a situation like, let's just say, Mayor Suarez, who publicly got coronavirus, but he didn't really have anything too bad. He just self-quarantined. That's not the big issue. I mean, the big issue is the hospitals that are going to have to deal with the people who are in serious, serious, dire need of medical attention. And that's where all that flattening the curve stuff comes from. It's because you don't want to break these poor people down. You don't want to break down the medical system like what's going on in New York and, you know, what very well looks like it could be knocking on the door of South Florida.
Yeah, and that's again, there's no – what bothers me about this whole situation is that, one, we really need to do everything we can, anything that we have control of, to slow this down, right? The other thing is – nobody really has a good grasp of what is going on, who has it,
how many people are catching it. And so you have a lot of things at play that something has to be definitive to change the course of this. And right now, there's really nothing that is definitive about how we slow it down, how we stop it. We're just doing things, right, to keep everybody out of harm's way.
Right, you're doing the logistical thing to keep everybody apart.
Right,
because
right.
That makes the most sense. I mean, if you're not around people not doing things, you're most likely sure. not gonna get something.
I mean, and you know, look, we all have to be careful and cautious, but at the same time, I think what is terrifying about this is that you don't really know, right? Do we really, you know, we have a better idea of what it is. We have a better idea of what we can do to kind of slow it down. But do we have, a better idea of, one, who has it, and two, are we doing the right things to slow it down? Because the numbers are getting higher.
Yeah, they're going to get higher, and they're going to get higher. Like I don't right. think anything's going to keep that from happening because of, like you said, more people are getting tested, and we are finding out more about it. It is going to get higher. I think that's absolutely for sure. And
I didn't know.
And probably dangerously higher.
Right. I didn't know the coronavirus meant that there was going to be a shortage of toilet paper and paper towels.
Right. Well, that seems just ridiculous. I don't know why that happened. And now it's like, that seems like a cycle of doom. Now everybody's just like, I'm getting it while the getting's good. Whenever
right. Like you start buying stuff. Like I went to Publix. And I was going to, I said, you know what? Let me get some. I have some chicken at home, but I'm gonna go ahead and try and get some boneless chicken. There was no meat. I said, oh no, it'll be back tomorrow. I'm like, holy smokes. So yeah, I mean, be careful. I think everybody's trying to do the right thing, try to practice social distancing. You go in some stores, they have, like I go into Restaurant Depot, you have to go through one line, there's not a number of lines, the lines are a little bit longer, and they have tape every 6 feet. You know, I had to wait in line to get in the store. Right, so they're not just letting everybody in; they're limiting the amount of people that go into the store. You know, so everybody's trying to play their part. You know, wash your hands, do all those things, and just hope. You know, hope that in the end, this is what's going to slow this down.
We find out the real meat of the question, though, and that is brought up by this texter, which we'll save for next segment, Leroy. Do you think this was made by the government? That's next on Tobin and Leroy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.